have been thousands of racially motivated murders.
We need your help,
Dr. King. This thing's just gonna have to wait.
It cannot wait.
You got one big issue, I got 101.
Summer it is.
Here is the next great battle.
Selma's the place, and they ready.
Dr. King!
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about a film that remains in the national conversation, Selma.
I like the movie Selma enough, and it certainly is a powerful history lesson, but that doesn't necessarily make it a great motion picture. The outcry was strong when it opened late last year, and then only managed to garner two Oscar nominations. One was for Best Picture, so no complaints there, and Selma actually won the Academy Award for Best Original Song, and John Legend and Common's Powerful Glory certainly makes an impact. You may remember the rousing performance of it at February's Oscar broadcast. The main issue folks seemed to gripe about was the omission of star David Oyelowo, and that's one I can support. He gives an intense and thoughtful portrayal of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. And I found Ava DuVernay's direction commendable, but it fell short of exceptional. Selma is an earnest film and an honorable one, but I felt the need for a little more nitty-gritty. It's just a little bit too clean for me. We should be advanced enough to move beyond by-the-numbers time capsules at this stage in our history. In other words, if only Selma were as brave and politically conscious as its award-winning song. But that walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge is something your children should know about. This is a stirring drama that fails to rise to the level of classic filmmaking. Ed, back over to you.
Thanks, Mark, and as always, you can check out Mark's long-form reviews at his great website, reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. Well, let's keep things in the film family, shall we? What movie is this from?
It's funny, you're a funny guy.
You mean the way I talk?
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's
funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how.
That's right. Goodfellas. The best mob movie of all time. In my opinion, without a doubt. I don't want to hear about Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Godfather 3. I want to get out there pulling me back in. To me, The Godfather was always a little overdone, a little over-stylized. If you want real, if you want mafia, you want Goodfellas. 1990, it's been 25 years since we were told to go home and get our shine boxes. And if you've never seen the movie, you have no idea what I just said. But most of us know almost every single line from that movie. And there are some things that you don't know about the movie Goodfellas. We've been able to come up with a list here. Several things that you never knew about Martin Scorsese's mobster flick Goodfellas. Here we go. The first one, several Hollywood A-listers were mentioned for the role of Henry Hill, which, as we know, eventually went to Ray Liotta, including Tom Cruise, Sean Penn, Alec Baldwin, and even Cruise's Top Gun co-star Val Kilmer. The next one, author Nicholas Polenghi didn't return director Martin Scorsese's initial call about making his 1986 book Wise Guy into a movie because he thought someone was pulling his leg. What? So, see, I guess that happens to Scorsese a lot. He calls a screenwriter, "Hi, I want to make your script into a movie." You probably think it's some friend just pulling their leg and, you know, the ultimate joke. Anyway, I don't even know if this is on this list, but I do know this. Do you know why Goodfellas was called Goodfellas and not Wise Guys? Because Polenghi's book was named Wise Guy. There was a CBS series on at that time which was called Wise Guy. And if memory serves, it was about some guy in the mob or was a hitman, something like that. They couldn't do that because of the TV show, which was reasonably popular for a couple of years, late 80s, early 90s. So they had to change it to Goodfellas. And there is a scene when Tommy is heading off to be made, and he explains what a good fella is. And he sneaks in the reference about what a wise guy is. And that's the one little moment in the movie where I think Scorsese felt the need to explain why he had to name the movie Goodfellas. Let's see, the next one. Ray Liotta didn't meet Henry Hill until after the movie wrapped. According to Hill, Scorsese insisted on keeping the two apart. He didn't want me to influence him whatsoever, he once told an interviewer. That's actually a pretty good idea. Robert De Niro, however, met with Hill and endlessly quizzed him for insights into his character Jimmy Conway, who was based on mobster James Jimmy the Gent Burke. Instead, to get into character, Liotta listened to hours upon hours of interviews Pileggi taped with Hill while writing Wise Guy. Henry Hill was eating potato chips the whole time. It was just a horrible noise, Liotta recalled to a radio interviewer back in 2014. Both of Scorsese's parents are in the film. His mom, Catherine, plays Joe Pesci's character's mother, while his father, Charles, plays Vinny, the old mobster whom Paulie warns about putting too many onions in the tomato sauce in the prison dinner scene. Charles died in 1993. Catherine died in 1997. His mother turns up in a lot of his films. I remember in Casino, which came out a couple of years later. She plays the mother of one of the Kansas City gangsters. The next one, in the scene where Henry and Karen Hill are discussing the witness protection program, this is towards the end, the prosecutor they are speaking to is Ed McDonald, the actual federal prosecutor who put Hill in the witness protection program. McDonald, now in private practice, told the Wall Street Journal back in 2008 that all of his lines were improvised, including the famous "Don't give me the babe in the woods routine, Karen." We did 6 takes of the scene, and I often wondered how many times I used that line. I probably only used it once, McDonald said. The next one, Goodfellas, was nominated for 6 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Director. It won only one, a Best Supporting Actor trophy for Joe Pesci. The next one, Lorraine Bracco turned down the chance to play mob wife Carmella on the HBO series The Sopranos because of her role as Karen Hill in Goodfellas. I said, look, I don't think I should play Carmella because I did it. I did it in a Scorsese movie. I got an Oscar nomination. I really don't think I'm going to bring so much to this for you that I haven't done already, she recently told Huffington Post Live. And as we all know, she went on to play Dr. Melfi, in many ways just as important a character to The Sopranos as Carmella, played by Edie Falco, was. The next one, Joe Pesci's character, Tommy DeVito, is based on Lucchese family hitman Thomas DeSimone, a.k.a. Two Gun Tommy or Tommy D. While Pesci is only about 5'4", DeSimone was actually a hulking 6'2 in real life. Describing Tommy's death in the film, Henry Hill says they even shot Tommy in the face so his mother couldn't give him an open coffin at the funeral. In reality, DeSimone vanished in 1979. His body was never found. He was only 28. The next one, according to Wise Guy, DeSimone did in fact pistol whip William Billy Batts Bentvena to death after Batts ribbed him about being a shoeshine boy, but the insult and the murder occurred a few weeks apart. The famous Funny How scene was inspired by an experience Joe Pesci had working at a restaurant and mob hangout as a young man. As Liotta and other castmates tell it, Pesci got put on the spot after he quipped that one mobster was a funny guy. Again, these are things you may not have known about the film Goodfellas. The next one, Chuck Lowe, who plays the pestering wig salesman Maury Kessler, was Robert De Niro's real estate consultant before appearing in the film. Really? That is a shock. I had seen him in a couple of other films. So, you know what? Hey, if you're just a working actor, and working is in quotes, you need to do other things. So the guy obviously had his real estate license to make some extra money when he wasn't going to be acting, which was a smart move, and he sold Bobby D his house. De Niro's character, Jimmy Conway, was based on James Burke, a top associate of the Lucchese crime family, nicknamed Jimmy the Gent because of his dapper appearance. As depicted in the movie, Burke masterminded the 1978 Lufthansa robbery, which ripped off nearly $6 million from a JFK cargo hold and was the largest robbery in the U.S. at the time. He and Hill were also players in the 1979 Boston College point-shaving scandal. The next one, Sonny Buns, the beleaguered Bamboo Lounge owner who gets a bottle cracked over his head, was played by Anthony Borghese, a Brooklyn-bred actor who uses the stage name Tony Darrow. As a young man, Borghese worked in the real Bamboo Lounge in Canarsie, where Hill, Burke, and DeSimone hung out. Queens native Christopher Cerrone said playing young Henry put a giant target on his back during his teen years. Every kid in my neighborhood wanted to be the guy who beat up the gangster kid from Goodfellas. It was tough. Cerrone, now in his late 30s, said this recently to the Daily Mail over in London. I took my share and gave my share. Let's see. The next one, the movie Second to Last Shot, shows Pesci firing a pistol point blank at the screen. I could never figure out why. It's a reference to the ending of the 1903 silent film The Great Train Robbery, where one of the bandits does the same thing. That one wasn't directed by Scorsese. That one was directed by, yes, Thomas Edison. In the final scene, De Niro's defense attorney, who says the line, "Mr. Hill, you know everything about being a rat," He's played by Eddie Hayes, a legendary New York mob lawyer who was the inspiration for the slick-talking attorney in Tom Wolfe's Bonfire of the Vanities. Wow. So there you go. Several interesting facts about the movie Goodfellas that you may not have known. And isn't that one of those movies that, you know, you're just going around the cable box or your satellite box or whatever, and all of a sudden there it is. And no matter where it is, be it 5 minutes in or 15 minutes from the end, at least for me, you just sit there and you watch it for the rest of the way through. It's just one of those films that is that good. Stay with us. Coming up next, micro apartments. How small of an apartment would you be willing to live in? No, smaller. No, smaller than that. There are apartments so small they can be driven around on the back of a truck. But what are we sacrificing individually to live in an apartment like this? We'll have the story. That's coming up next. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend!
Order in the court!
Have you ever seen a sign in a store that says, if you break it, you buy it? This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. While walking down the aisle of a department store, Jane accidentally bumped into a pyramid-shaped display of expensive imported china, and it went crashing to the floor. The store told Jane, you broke it, so you buy it. They even showed Jane a sign hanging near the display that said, you break it, you buy it. So now, who has to pay for the broken china, Jane or the store? The final verdict after this. Does Jane have to pay the store for the damages? No. If goods are displayed in a manner that increases the likelihood that they will be knocked over, then the store has to be prepared to absorb the cost of breakage. And that's the final verdict.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Recently, ABMs had rotten luck with batteries. More time on the tender. Maybe batteries ain't what they used to be. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Oh, dead battery blues. Try to take it in for warranty. Sorry, sir, this battery looks good with 460 cold cranking amps, they said. From a 325 CCA battery, I said. Left on the charger overnight, the old battery will turn over an SNS 124 cubic inch V-twin. Barely. This starting at the first try, the battery dies and back on the charger. Solution, get a big bore battery for replacement. $200 out the door. I'll let you know how it works out. Batteries ain't what they used to be. On some, neither. Is the implied warranty. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.